What's up, everyone? How's it going? Sweet. I'm super stoked, and I'm a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm not too nervous. So, disclaimer, I am really not a preacher, and those lights are abnormally bright in this spot. I'm really not a preacher. To be totally honest, I would rather grab a guitar and play you guys Taylor Swift covers for the next 40 minutes. And you would probably prefer that too, but that's okay. So I just want to tell you a few things about myself, just to kind of break the ice in case you don't know me. If you do know me, then you're just going to be laughing at me the whole time like Warren already is. So I'm just... I graduated from River Homelink. Any River Homelinkers here? Awesome. I was in the last graduating class from the Camas campus back in the day. So yeah. Did you not like that, or is it sad you moved? Okay, yeah. Yeah, good times back there. Yeah, that's good. I currently now go to Multnomah University in Portland, where I'm a junior. I go there with Clint and Kayla. We all hang out sometimes. Same classes here and there, yeah. It's a good school. I really like being there. Super blessed to have the chance to be there and have a really good community. I was in this youth group since I was in sixth grade, so I have been exactly where you are. Back in the day, I remember my first day of youth group as a sixth grader. I think it was like summer. We met downstairs. If you guys are old enough, you remember Joe Pfeiffer. He was our leader back in the day, and I think Andrew Bogue might have been around. He might not have moved. Yeah, maybe. I just remember first night of youth group, and I was super scared. I wasn't really antisocial because I was in elementary school before then, so I haven't been homeschooled my whole life, so that's okay. But I was super scared, and I just remember we played this game with trivia questions, and there were like a couple Lord of the Rings trivia questions that were like super geeky, and no one knew them, and I knew them. And for some reason, I thought that made me like really cool, and I felt like, oh, I can fit in because people like me now because I knew Lord of the Rings. I don't know. I don't know how that worked. So I just want to tell you a quick story that is kind of just funny, and then it'll relate a little bit later, but story time's good, right? Okay, cool. So I told you I go to school in Portland, and my school is in, it's not horrible, but it's not exactly in the best place of Portland. There's just a lot of strip clubs and drug deals that go down, like, right across the street from my school. So, yeah, it's fun. So there was one night last semester, kind of near the end, where I was up late studying. I was just like trying to power through some homework. It was like right at the end of the semester, I was just like, I gotta stay up, keep working on this until I finish. And I was getting really tired, so I was like, I'm gonna go out, buy some energy drinks, pound them down, then I'll be good. So I drive over to 82nd, go to the Safeway, and it was actually closed because it was like midnight, and I don't even know what I was thinking. But I pull into the Safeway, and I'm like, oh, bummer, it's closed. And after I pull in, I think I parked to write a text or something, so texting and driving, I'm good, right? So I parked to write a text for a second, I look behind me, and this van pulls in the parking lot, and I'm thinking, like, okay, it's midnight, 82nd, this probably isn't good, you know, I should probably get out of here. I wasn't too panicked yet, you know, like, it wasn't that big deal. I was just like, I should probably leave, so I, like, throw my car in reverse, I'm about to back out, and I'm watching this van, and the side, the door of the van throws open. And I can see these guys in the back, and there's this one guy like struggling to get out. Yeah, no joke. And they're like holding him in, and he reaches in his jacket and he busts out this can of pepper spray and just lets them all have it right in the face. And then he books it across the parking lot. And by this time, I had backed out of my spot and I was like trying to get out the other exit, but he goes right in front of my car, so I'm like waiting there awkwardly. And he runs in front of me and he like gives me this look of like, you didn't see what just happened. And I was just like, I didn't see. I was like, I hope this guy doesn't have anything else. I don't know. So I got out of there. And that wasn't enough energy, so I still had to go get energy drinks. Story's not even over, okay? It's just the beginning. So I went to a 7-Eleven just up the road. And as I was going in, there's this guy leaving. Kind of just like grungy, dirty clothes, this like kind of short, baldish black guy. And, excuse me. And he had this bag of pop cans and he was all like cussing and he was all mad. And he stopped, and I was going in and I wasn't really gonna talk to him, but he stopped me. He was like, can you believe, like, they won't take my money for this? I was like, yeah, I guess that's a bummer. He was like, I just want my change for my pop cans. You know, I need this money. I was like, that's too bad. Like, they probably just don't do that here. You know, you should probably try somewhere else. And he started talking to me. He kept talking to me about his family. He said he had a son that was in the hospital, and he just needed some money. And he was like, I know this might be a long shot, but do you have 15 bucks you could give me? All I need right now is 15 bucks. And I was like, yeah, no, you know, I don't. I think I just said I didn't have it, which probably was a lie, I think. But I just don't usually give money to strangers. So I was like, I don't have any money, but I'll buy you some food because I'm getting some food. So we went in and we kept talking, and I bought him, I don't know, he got like dinner, and he got to tell me all about his life and his church, and he got to talking about his pastor who had hooked him up with a place to stay. But he had gotten some money from his church, but his pastor wanted him to work and earn the rest. And he was close to earning it, but he was just like a little bit short. And so I was like, oh no, I have to give him money, which was good. And I did, and I also bought him food, and we talked and we prayed, and it was really good. It was funny, I remember, okay, this is the best part. So we prayed for a while, and that was cool, and then he was like giving me all this life advice stuff, which I don't know, it was good. Right before he leaves, right, he looks at me, he's like, I've been with my wife for whatever, 20 something years. And you know what, there's a lot of women out there, but there's always that one. And he turns around and walks away. And I was just like, all right, so solid advice from homeless men in Portland. It's my life. All right, let's get down to this. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this night and that you've brought all of us here and that you've given me the opportunity to share what you've put on my heart tonight. I ask that it would be well received, that I would make sense, and that your gospel and your love would ultimately be shared tonight. Thank you so much for everything you give us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys got pens and notes? Sweet. So you only have to fill in one blank, and I'm going to give it to you right now because this is... I'm not even going to try and like build up to my point. I'm just going to give you my point right there, right here at the beginning, so you know. Okay, you ready? Okay, this is what you're going to write in. You see this little blank at the top. All right. We are the church, period. That's the first part. We are the church, but the church is for those who have never heard. Write that. We are the church, but the church is for those who have never heard. We're going to look at that first part first, the first half. We are the church. So when I say church, I don't mean church building. I mean, if you want to think of it as this youth group, that's completely applicable. What's up? Yes, that's what I just said. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be the building. If you want to think of it as our youth group is part of the church. That's completely good. And that's how we want to think of it. Youth group, our church, us, we are the church. Another term I'm going to use a lot is that we are the body of Christ. Okay? So I have some scripture in your notes too. The first one I want to look at, actually, just real quick, we'll go through it and then we're going to come back to it. It's Ephesians 4. That's probably the middle one. So let me read this for you. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Okay. This is Paul telling us how to live, how to be the church. Okay. We'll come back to this, but let's rewind a little bit. The first passage there is from Colossians, okay? This is just the gospel, straight up, all right? We'll go through this. It's from Colossians 1. He, that's being Jesus Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. I think Jesus is important. It's all through him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. I want you to circle that part, just that phrase. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Okay. So we are the church, we are the body of Christ, we're the children of God, and that's because of what this says here, peace by the blood of his cross. Okay. Jesus is the leader of us, of our church, of our body. So when we accept him and accept his grace, we become his child, and then we become a part of this whole thing, okay? We're a piece of this church, all of us. We all make it up together. We make up the body of Christ. As a church, we have responsibility, okay? And that's what this Ephesians 4 passage that we first read is talking about. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, okay? So the calling Christ has called us to be in his body, and now we have a responsibility in that. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We are the church, we're the body of Christ, okay? And each member is essential, okay? Each one of us. So that last passage, 1 Corinthians, you might have heard this before, but we're going to go through it. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Okay, so he's saying like a physical human body, so like my body, I have my hand and my foot and my ear. And those are like parts of my body, they're members, but they don't make up the whole. The whole is all of it put together. And this is how it is with Christ's body. The whole of Christ's body, which is the church, which is us, is each of us put together. Together, okay, we are Christ's body. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranges the members in the body, each of them as he chooses. He puts us together for specific reasons. Okay? So no one in our church can ever say, I'm not good enough because I don't do that thing. Okay? Because God has given us each different gifts, each different talents, and he's put us where we are for a specific reason. Okay? So each of you are in this youth group, in this body, for a specific reason, and you all bring something to that. It's good that we're different. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there were many parts, yet one body. Skip down to verse 26. We're going to skip that little chunk. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Okay? We are the church. We are the church. But the church is not for us. That's the second half, right? It's hard, it's very hard to remember that as the body of Christ, it's not about us, it's not about me. So the church is not I, it's we. It's really, trust me, it's really hard to remember this, to not be I-centered, but to be we-centered, okay? In Ephesians 5, it says, 5:29, it says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. So, we're one church, we're all members, okay? And that church is one body, then we need to be caring for each other because we're all one. Does that make sense? So we take care of our own bodies, hopefully, right? We like exercise, we try and eat good food sometimes, not always, it's okay. But we want to take care of ourselves. You wouldn't like just randomly neglect your left leg. okay? Like, I'm just going to walk around and drag my left, you know, that wouldn't work because it's a whole. Like, you can't exclude one piece. Does that make sense? So this is how it is also for the body of Christ. If we try and act in this group as the body and neglect a part, then we're using something for what it wasn't meant to be used for. And I know Matthias has talked about this concept recently. You can sometimes use something for what it's meant to be used for, but it ends up getting kind of skewed, right? So like when I was in probably like fourth or fifth grade, I had this, it wasn't an obsession, but I thought tin foil was really cool, not in like a weird way, but I figured out that I could make anything from it, not anything, because I'm actually not very good with making things with my hands. But I would like buy rolls of it and then like sculpt things. Yeah, you guys think I'm really weird now, don't you? There was one time I like emptied everything out of my closet and I built this fireplace kind of, and I like colored it orange. I don't know. That's not remotely what tinfoil is for. And was it used for its purpose? No, not really. This also makes me think of, I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this story, but I'm going to anyway, so. There's one time, sometime last year, Josh and I discovered that you can use tin foil and a common cleaner to make a sort of explosive. And it's sort of the Pepsi and Mento can. Yeah, sort of that effect times 20. And it was awesome. Don't do it. But that's not what either of those things were for, right? So it actually, I mean, it didn't hurt us because we weren't anywhere near it when it went off, but it created a negative effect, technically, because we weren't using the things that they were supposed to use for. And that's the same, okay, with anything. It ends up, you kind of take a step back if you try and use something for what it just wasn't meant to be. So if we try and take an individual out of the body or neglect that, it's just not what it was made to be. Okay, so practical practical example in this, small groups, your small groups. Okay. You all have a chance to step up and maybe not lead, maybe that's not the position you're supposed to be in, but to love on the other people in your small groups. When I was in high school, in middle school actually, I did not get this in small groups at all. I'm not sure how often it ever crossed my mind that I could be serving someone else in my small group. Because when I went to Sunday nights, it was like, all right, this is me time, and someone smart's gonna pour into me, and I'm gonna get smarter, and it's gonna be good, and I'll grow in Christ. And like, if you had told me that that was my mindset, I would have been like, no, it's not. But yeah, it definitely was. I think it was my junior year. Jacob and I had this small group leader who was great. He was fantastic for one night. It was the first night of small groups. He came, and I still remember what we talked about. Yeah. Yeah, he was a chef, and that's right. The next week, I think, he just didn't come. And the week after that, he didn't come. And then we were just kind of like, you know, where is this guy? And we had Jordan Bolt filling in for us. And eventually it was just like, yeah, he's out. Like, he had something in his life that, you know, he didn't contact us. And I just had a lot of anger over that. I was like, this guy screwed our group over. Like, what's his problem? Like, I thought he was supposed to pour into us, and now, like, now what are we going to do? Like, we had Jordan Bolt as our leader, if you guys remember him, probably not. And he was phenomenal. That was great. He did a good job as leading that small group. But my mindset every week was, like, sitting back and, like, man, this is a bummer that I'm not getting what I thought I was going to get out of this group. And if I had gone in thinking that I wanted to love on the people in my group and include them and maybe lead them in some small ways and to step up and to be bold in that and not be selfish and to remember that as a body, we're all working together and growing together, and it's not about me, I think that group would have been a completely different experience. And I know that some of you right now, you might not have the same leader problem, but you might feel that way about your small group. Because we come to church and we get things poured into us and we get fed and it feels good to get knowledge or to sing songs, and we think about how it's God meeting us or it's people serving us, and we don't think about how we're supposed to be serving people. It's hard. It's really hard to not be exclusive. You know this. It's hard to not be exclusive. But it really sucks to be excluded, especially in something that's supposed to be your church. When I started going to my school, I commute there. I still live here in Washougal, and the school's in Portland, so I drive there every day. When I started going to my school, I've never really had trouble making friends. I like couldn't make good friends. I made a bunch of acquaintances, but I couldn't get people, especially the people who lived there, I couldn't get them to break out of their exclusiveness and their cliques enough to bring me into it. And it was like really painful. And I was just so lonely at school for a long time. And until this previous semester, I encountered a community of people who were ready to not be exclusive and ready to invite me in. And now that I'm more comfortable in that, let me tell you, it's super hard still, which is ridiculous. It's super hard for me to look at the people who are still feeling lonely at my school and for me to reach out to them, because now I'm comfortable, you know? But that's just not how it works. If you have the opportunity to bring someone in, then you do that, because we're one body of Christ. If you remember, hopefully you remember the story I just shared before, at the beginning about that guy I talked to, and I bought him food, which, I don't know, I guess that's good. I didn't particularly, like I said, I wasn't going to seek him out at the beginning. That's a really hard time with going out of my comfort zone for people. And it's really easy to stay where I'm comfortable and not reach out to them like I know I should. And with that guy, I did. But a lot of that was because he talked to me first, you know? I understand. And don't think I'm like standing over you saying, you guys have to, you know, because I'm in your shoes too, and I understand, like, this is a really hard thing to be bold, to go out of your comfort zone. But when you do, it's so beneficial. One of my really good friends from school, his name is Peter. You guys might have met him because he played keys at winter camp. Super cool guy. He's awesome. There's a time like just last week where we were like late night food run, and this woman and her son needed gas because they ran out of gas, and so we were just like walking down to the gas station to fill up her container, and we were like walking, and I was like, this is a little awkward, you know, making small talk, and Peter's just like, so I know this is awkward, but the reason you found us is because of Jesus. Jesus wanted you to find us because he loves you. And I was just like, oh, this is so awkward. Like, honestly, but that was great. Like, I wasn't going to say that, but he said that, like, and I could tell in her reaction, that was so beneficial, because now she's connecting the dots to, like, oh, there's a God that led me to these people who are now helping me, just because he was willing to get out of his comfort zone and say that. Actually, knowing Peter, that might not have even been out of his comfort zone, but it was out of mind for even him to say that. So that was for those who've never heard, right? We're the church. but it's for them.
Okay?
It's all summed up in the Great Commission. One sentence. When Christ left, after he died, after he rose again, when he left, he said to his disciples, Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. I know you guys can't get to all nations literally, but I think that there are enough unsafe people at your schools for you to spend all your time on. I think you have enough friends who aren't here tonight for you to spend time on. I want to tell you a story. This is from Galatians 2. I'll give you a little background info. This is in the early church after Christ had died, resurrected, gone back to heaven. The church was forming, and there was friction between the Jewish people and Jews who were becoming Christians, and Gentiles who were just non-Jewish people who were becoming Christians. And finding the balance between whether to follow the old law, which is the Old Testament, or not, is kind of a tricky issue. Because when Christ saved us, now we're saved through grace. So that's his compassion and willingness to forgive us. That's what we're saved by. We're not saved by sacrifices and laws anymore. But when that changed over, you know, it was kind of tricky and confusing for them. And there were two big guys, okay, two big apostles. One was Peter, and he traveled, lived with Jesus during his ministry. Jesus called him the rock of the church. Okay, this is Peter. And at this time, he was technically the head of the church, okay? And then there was Paul, who didn't know Jesus, and he actually persecuted Christians and killed them for a while before Jesus met him, and commissioned him to minister to the Gentiles, who were the non-Jewish people, and to share the gospel with them. Okay, so Peter, who was commissioned to the Jews, Paul, commissioned to the Gentiles. Okay, there was this one period of time where Peter went to visit Paul and his ministry there in Antioch. And he stayed with him for a while. And while he was there, he ate with Paul and ate with the Gentiles. Totally fine, you'd think, right? Technically it is. Being saved by grace, as he was. To the Jews, that was actually breaking law. To eat with Gentiles, who was eating unclean meat. And so Peter was doing that, and there were some Jewish leaders that came to him and were kind of like, well, man, like, what are you doing? And he backed off, and he stopped spending that time with those Gentiles, and he stopped eating with them because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders, actually. And Paul got pissed at this. He was mad. And you can read in Galatians 2, he calls Peter a hypocrite. He completely calls him out in this, right? And Paul's point is, like, why are you trying to play sides? We're not saved by works or the law anymore. We're saved by grace. And grace covers everyone, okay? So grace covers us and your friends who know nothing about Jesus, covers everyone. Galatians 2:19, Paul said, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If righteousness could be gained by anything else than grace, Christ died for nothing. Sometimes in trying to balance tension of life between our lives as Christians and our lives with people who aren't, we tend to stray too far to one side. And I have, like, if you looked at my life, I have, like, times where I'm like, whoa, only in the church, and then, like, whoa, only with people who are not Christians, and, like, it just drastically changes me. And it's really, really hard, like, to live in that tension. But in the body of Christ, we're supposed to. We're supposed to be with each other. We're also supposed to be bringing people in and letting them know that it's grace that can cover them. If we exclude and look only inward, we are hypocrites. And if we come here and we want to get poured into and we want to get taught, but we don't care about implementing that, don't care about using that, don't care about telling people who don't know that, then we are hypocrites and we are not doing justice to the grace that God's given us. As Christians, we get so legalistic. Trust me, Christians, we get legalistic. And as our generation, we want so bad to fit in. And when those two things collide, it's really detrimental to bringing people into the body. But we have to find the balance in that. Because we're the church, not for us. We are the church, but we're for them. We're for those who don't know Christ. I heard this quote that says, it's behave, believe, and then belong. Everyone belongs first. Sometimes we think we have to get things in order or get people in order, and then they belong in our church. That's not how it works. So how do we do this? I talked to you about my friend Peter. Him and his wife Connie are two of my best friends, and they are fantastic. These two people, they've been married like less than a year, and they get hospitality better than most people I've ever met. Like, hospitality, they get it. I practically live at their house, because sometimes I don't have the gas money to drive back and forth, so I'll just like sleep there. And they'll give me food, they'll let me sleep there. Like, they have people going into their house, in and out of their house all the time. Like, there's been a few times where I woke up too late to take a shower, so I just knock on their door, I'm like, hey, can I shower? And they're like, yeah. Like, they get this, they get letting people into their home. And if you would ask them, no, it's not always comfortable to have people there. To have, like, people moving their stuff around. It's not. Okay, this is a parallel for kind of what our lives are like or what our youth group is like. Or your small group. Imagine it's like your house, your home. You guys don't have your own homes yet, but imagine you do. And it's awesome, right? Like a mansion. You have your own home. And you have your furniture and everything. It might not be clean, but it's still how you like it. You know where everything is, right? And you're not going to break your own stuff. You like your own stuff. And you like it where it's at. Now imagine you're inviting a bunch of people in, and these people come into your house and they like move stuff around, or they like sit in your spot, they like break your stuff and eat your food, and you're just like, why? This is so uncomfortable. And sometimes this is what it's like when you have someone new in a youth group or someone new in your small group. Maybe that one person in your small group where you're just like, this is horrible and you would never say this, but you secretly think, if they weren't in my group, then I would be comfortable. And you might think that about someone in your youth group, if it wasn't for them, it would just be better. You don't want them moving the stuff around in your house. You don't want them disrupting things and breaking things because that's just messy and uncomfortable. But let me tell you, that's not how the body of Christ works. As the body of Christ, everyone belongs first. And because Christ covers us with grace, we get to trust that he's going to put everything back. So they move something, and we're like, but Christ is going to put that back together and keep that person there. Remember in 1 Corinthians what we read. Christ reconciles us. He fixes us. And it is his church. We read that at the beginning. He's the head of the church. It's him. It's not us. Even if we feel like that small group is our home, actually not. We are just a piece of that because it's the body of Christ. Christ, he's the head. So I want to encourage you guys to be really bold in this. This is not easy. This is really hard. Inviting people in, whether they're already here, inviting them into your life, or inviting someone here who isn't saved. Both those things are really difficult. And I want to encourage you guys to be bold in this, because when we do, you see fruit from it. It is big. To be bold for Christ, to go out of your comfort zone for people, makes a huge difference. We've been talking about Paul. We read some stuff that Paul wrote. Paul was incredibly bold, like to the ridiculous level of bold. He went on several missionary journeys where he was like sailing and shipwrecks, and he was walking mile after mile. There was this one time where he got chased out of a city. They tried to kill him. And then he got chased out of another city. They tried to kill him. And then he was in a city where they actually did kill him. Okay, he got stoned to death. And then Christ brought him back to life, basically. They thought he was dead. They left. He was like, okay, he's toast. And then he stood up. He went to the next city to preach. And then after that, he went back to the city where they killed him to keep preaching, where they just killed him. And then on his next journey, he goes back to that city again, where he actually meets Timothy, which is amazing. Paul was very bold. He spent, it's hard to know exactly, but he might have spent up to a quarter of his time on those journeys in prison, which was extremely unpleasant. Paul was bold for Christ, and he was one of the most influential figures in the New Testament. Psalms 138:3. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. Be bold for Christ. To be honest, I don't really know why God put this message on my heart to share to you guys. When Matthias first asked me to teach, I laughed. because I don't think I'm a preacher. I just don't think that's my thing. He feels like, yeah, you know, I can't do that. And then I was going to Germany for that trip. And on my flight, my first flight to New York, I was sitting there thinking about it. And I just, like, it was like God was just like, this is what you're going to talk about. And this is why. And I was like, I'm going to talk about this? And I still don't know why. Because when I was in your spot, and even now where I'm at, I have the hardest time living this out. Okay? And when I was in middle school and high school, I did not do this. I did not invite people to youth group. When I was like a junior in high school, at ETV, I remember we were talking about how to get our youth group to grow together more. And it was actually one of my ideas to have everyone go one place after Wednesday night. It's like, we're going to go one place, and I was like, let's go to Taco Bell, which we still do. So that worked. It didn't really work for me after a while. If you were in high school with me, you know that I was extremely exclusive in my friend group. And like, eventually, I wanted people to go to Taco Bell, to be together and to have community, and then somehow I lost sight of that. And then it was all about me and my friends, and if I didn't want to hang out with you, then I was going to be courteous, but you know, like I wasn't looking to bring people closer into community as the body of Christ. And I just have to say, if you were around then, I'm sorry. Seriously, I'm sorry that I did that. I was not bold in that way, and I can tell you guys that I still feel effects from that, from people in this church, that I was exclusive and not reaching out to some people, and I can still feel the effects of that. And I feel at times like I have a hindered ministry because of that, because I wasn't bold and I wasn't passionate about growing this group up together to be the body of Christ, because I didn't step up in that. We're the church. We're not for us, we're for them. Be bold, guys. Be bold for Christ. Because of the gospel, because of grace. I can't tell you guys each individually where you need to play this out, where this will play out in your life. God, however, can. So I want to spend some time in prayer. We have note cards, too. If you want to write, you should have space on your notes, maybe. I'm going to spend like a good 5-minute chunk of time in prayer. I want you guys to pray about this. I want you to ask God where he wants you to move, where he wants to move in you, and what he wants you to do to be bold for the body of Christ, to be bold for him and the gospel. So we're going to take a few minutes, we're going to pray, and then I'm actually going to lead us up in a song. If you guys are still writing, still praying, feel free. I might just play some music for a little bit, and then we'll sing. This is a song we used to do, but we don't really do it anymore, but it feels pretty fitting, so...